everybody, and welcome to today's Grower Talks podcast. I'm Chris Bates, editor-in-chief of Grower Talks, Green Profit, and the newsletter Acres Online. And today we're talking poinsettias, specifically the best poinsettias, best for specific purposes that growers and retailers are asking for, like timing, color, the market, the region you're growing in, the pot size or the habit that you need. If you can request it from your poinsettia supplier, we're going to see if we can cover it and give you an idea for it. Now, my guest experts who you've been looking at there, they are all poinsettia experts with a combined more than 101 years. Steve would only commit to more than 40. Gary's feeling old. Becca's the rookie of the group with just 20 years of experience between them. My guest experts are Rebecca Simons. Am I pronouncing that right, Rebecca?
That's good enough.
Good enough. Rebecca from Express Seed. Gary Vollmer from Selecta One and really the Ball Horticultural Company in general there. And Steve Reinhart of Reinhart Poinsettias and also Express Seed. All right, we'll get into that too. Let's go the other direction. I want to grow some trees. What's going to make the best straight up 3 or 4 foot tall poinsettia tree? Steve.
Oh, man, I'm going to pass right now. I got to think. Yeah.
All right.
Think a minute.
Gosh, it's some of that like old school looking stuff, like classic Jubilee.
Yeah.
Serena, maybe from Latsuri, because you want a variety that isn't susceptible to splitting too, and you want like a big cascading bract. And so kind of some of the old school stuff still for me.
And you're starting these back at Mother's Day probably too, right?
Yeah, like the middle of May. A triple pinch tree is like May 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary?
Well, you know, in that arena of the traditional tree, I would agree. One I'd see the most of for sure. You know, you see a lot of Jubilee historically, but yep. Prestige still becomes, I would say, the number one used for a core red tree. But that is your core 4, 4.5 foot tree market. What we're seeing evolving is the desire to make a smaller tree. And, yep. You know, depending on who you're talking to, it's anywhere between 24 and 36 inches. And in that arena, now you shift your gears from that big bracted, big upright, vigorous guy like a Prestige. And then what we've landed on for us, we've developed this market in Ontario with a couple of growers. And Beauty has been our preferred. And others of the concept of a medium vigor, less vigorous variety to make a smaller tree is really thing. And the idea is trying to get something The best way to describe it is the grower, the owner of a grower that was going arguing why they had to reduce the size of the tree and said, look, if I can't fit it in the back of my SUV to take it home, that's too big.
And that was the point. You got to deliver those 4 footers. So a 2 foot right. tree might be better.
So the idea was I want something that, I mean, if I can't even take my trees home to decorate my house and I grew them, I need a smaller tree. And so I think there's opportunity because of shipping density. You get way more plants per rack. You get way more, 2 layers on a rack. You get multiple plants on a shelf. You start to become economical. Trees are done as a favor for retailers, but it's not a profit center for growers.
Put them in terracotta so they don't tip over, though. That's what I
like. It's really hard from a stock production standpoint to supply those early cuttings. It's the worst.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Rebecca, you use the term presidential tub.
Yeah.
Is that something special or is that just a giant poinsettia?
That's an Ecky term, actually, presidential tub. And it's really just like, I don't even know what container size they were, if they were 12 inch or 14 inch, but just they're grown on the same schedule as trees, but just multiple pinches. And it's just a really large, you know, for like shopping mall decoration and things like that. So, you know,
what came out of Ellison's in Texas.
Yes, they were gorgeous.
Went to the White House. Maybe that's where they
came
from. Yeah, that was a PJ Ellison special. That's right. Yeah.
Now, do you know what those were, Steve?
Oh, gosh.
They were probably Freedom.
Freedom.
Mean, yeah.
Some of the biggest poinsettias ever, like 6 foot, 8 foot tall.
Yep.
Or something.
Yeah.
All right. So your variety, you can, Rebecca?
6 foot might be a little big.
Gosh, for me now, there's some new vigorous stuff like Imperial, or Toro or something like that, that has some really good vigor. You know, just some of the newer genetics that have good vigor that work well in those larger containers. So,
all right, Steve, big 12, 14 inch presidential pot. What would you
I pick Ranch Red in a heartbeat. I mean, not everyone has seen it. We saw it last year against Ferrara, actually, a little bit. Ferrara has been used as well in that size in the past. But I would pick Ranch Red in a heartbeat.
All right, that'd be pretty. Gary?
You know, for us, the when we talk about that pot size, we really differentiate between the Costco 10-inch, 24/26-inch, and then leaping up to a 30-inch tall poinsettias. Mm-hmm. And at that point, to get to a 30-inch, you really have to start recognizing the splitting factor.
Yeah.
And so you have to – you narrow the field a little bit. But yeah, I think that for us, one of the high sellers is called Christmas Wish or Christmas Cheer for the midseason. It's got the right rack presentation and a big show. Still requires a ring. New product for us that is demonstrating the possibility of not needing a ring is called Christmas Candle. Very, very strong stemmed and very, very one of our steepest uprights. It's also early to color, late to flower, so it checks some boxes, but it's a vigorous beast.
All right.
And only suited for the big stuff. And right. we did bet it for splitting. But I will tell you, one of the most interesting things you talk about in poinsettias, is I've had the pleasure of through my travels and looking at trials in Italy, is to work with the family business that is the official poinsettia growers of the Vatican. And you go and you walk that place and you see the plants that he's growing for the Pope's residence and the plants for the basilicas and all that. It's pretty amazing. And they have big commos that stand about 5 feet tall.
A presidential poinsettia is one thing, but a papal poinsettia.
Whoa.
Super nice, family, just really good quality growers, obviously. But
All right. We want to see photos of that. Here's an old-fashioned one. Is anybody doing straight-ups?
They should.
Marvin Miller wants to know.
Love him.
Dr. Marvin Miller. Rebecca, what would you grow if you were going to do a pot of traditional straight-ups?
Well, for me, it's still classic red and white. It's like that's old school too, but that's kind of like when that concept really became a thing, that was the variety that we developed the production techniques for. You know, it just was the look, everything, you know, four plants in a 8-inch square. But today, more modern genetics, I like the look of Superba. I think Superba makes a, you know, you want a variety that's splitting is always a factor, right? Because we're not pinching. You want, you know, kind of big showy bracts, big saithia. So there's lots to choose from. Low production of Kindles, as Gary mentioned, that's another one because you gotta, we don't want that side shoot look. And so if I had to pick today, it would be Superba.
All right, Steve, you're probably growing some straight up.
You know, I like growing a good 9 bloom, but also the 9 bloom plant, I like it to be a variety that can do 7s, 5s, 3s as well. I had this experience of taking one of those 9 blooms down to a photographer. I was doing some stuff for Reinhardt Poinsettia, some photography, and he called my 9 bloom of Legacy epic. He had never seen a poinsettia like that in his life. He said, "This is epic." So I let him have it, and he loved it, absolutely loved it. So my choice is Legacy.
Legacy. And then you're going to breed a new one called Epic, no doubt, coming up.
Here. Yeah, right.
Well, everybody's like writing that name down. Gary?
I'm the one who has to write it down.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting look. It's a retro look. I remember as a kid in the greenhouse doing straight ups because it was pre phytoplasma. It was pre Hegg, and that was how you did it. You did straight ups, and you know, we were doing 4 and a 6 as a floral 6. And the trick was in that day, and I will argue instead of trying to pick a variety, is there's two ways to skin this cat. You can go with a really big bracted variety and wow them with a huge bract and maybe 4 cuttings, or you go in with just a blitz of the show. One of the prettiest things I saw was a work. And there were several varieties that were used in this. In our world, it was done with Christmas Aurora, but there was Prestige and others in this as well, which was a 5-bloom 10-inch grown to 28 inches tall.
And, hallelujah.
I mean, you talk about wow. It was epic. 5 massive aspracts. I mean, just huge. And it was fun, is what it was. But retailers aren't nibbling yet. We need to find a market for it. But I think it's there. And hey, you know, we're in the poinsettia cutting business. So I love the idea of putting multiple cuttings per pot. You know, come on,
get people excited about the 6-inch by showing them what the possibility is.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. I do think there's possibilities. I think there's lots of opportunities for unfinished poinsettias, combo food, etc. A lot of work can be done.
There you go. All right. How about for cut poinsettias? Cut flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an opportunity? And which variety would you grow? Steve, you're into it.
Oh, yeah. I'd bring back the retro, and it's Renaissance, without a doubt. And I love that plant. You talk about a long-lasting plant. Hmm. I mean, it in California, of course, we can put the Renaissance big show even in a tub on the doorstep and let it last for 4 months. But as a cut, I think, you know, we really tried that opportunity in my past. I think we tried to do it the traditional way of cutting, shipping, and all that. I think I would totally do it different now, and actually grow large pots that are cut at retail on the spot, put the service into the vase, and I would be all over that. I think that that's the way to do it, and it's Renaissance. Bring back Renaissance.
All right. Gary?
I would say in our world, Valentine, Winter Rose, those types. We've done some work with just, you know, vase tests, and their shelf life is very good. The issue really is the yield you can produce, your cost per stem is going to put this above most things. It's going to be pinging up there with an orchid spray or something like that is a very high value stem. So I love the concept, and we talk about it regularly, annually, when I'm overseas with the breeder, and we circle back to the fact that we can't get anybody to bite on the cost of production.
All right. How about you, Rebecca?
Jester was such a cool flower. Any poinsettia will work, but Jester just had kind of a special, unique look to it. And I think, you know, really there's a lot of resurgence now with domestic grown cut flowers, mm-hmm. and also those, you know, so there's a place for our domestic production, but also there's a lot of garden centers still that have a flower shop connected to them, and they have a greenhouse out in the back, and they're growing their own cut flowers. You know, and it's not going to be a huge market, but there is interest, and, you know, any variety will work, but Jester's cool.
Okay.
You know, Chris, just to add, Chris, you know, when I started at Ecce, we would ship poinsettias up to the New Year's parade, right, up in Pasadena. And that was all a variety called St. Louis, if you recall that. And it was grown outdoors. You know, we could cut with a bandsaw, make the stems even, and take buckets up. So, you know, it did exist at one point. Yeah. I'll say that.
Do you burn the end with a cigarette lighter or some kind of a flame? Is that
that's the thing. But you can use, bleach in a bucket. It's what we did.
All right, cool. Let's bring that one back. All right, we got to keep moving fast here. Markets. Best poinsettias. Best red poinsettia for an independent garden center. That's probably pretty broad. We probably mentioned them all already. Is there such a thing? One poinsettia for independence.
I'll go. So, you know, the IGCs are generally looking for a way to differentiate between the mass market, retail stores. So they want something a little bit more upscale looking. For me, there's a new one from Lazzari called Maestro that's really beautiful. It's a core mid-season variety. It's got that just really big kind of florist quality look, which we talk about a little bit later too, but it's Maestro for me.
All right. Steve?
I bring on the big Cyathia and Ranch Red Legacy. It's for me.
traditional big scythe.
Right.
Gary?
Ecky look. It's the Ecky look. Come on, it is. It's that bloodline that does it. Yeah, right.
Gary, best.
I would agree with that. That's a great one. The one we sell the most of, because it when grown well, it's almost perfect, is Christmas Noel. And that's been positioned by Selecta in Europe. We follow that position in North America, and it does work really well in that situation. It gives you a bit of a unique look, and it allows you to differentiate versus what's in the mask.
All right.
I agree with Steve. Traditional big scythia makes that elegant look.
All right. Gary, keep going. And your best for the mass market.
That's a loaded question because you got to tell me when, dude. I mean, is it 45 mass market, 46, 47, 48, 49?
If you could only, if you could only grow one to meet all purposes, I'm actually jumping ahead.
If I was going to grow one poinsettia that had to work everywhere for everybody and would satisfy a good mass market poinsettia, it'd be Christmas Beauty. It's the most universal across all regions. You can do it in Edmonton. You can do it in Homestead.
So Christmas Beauty.
I'll call Christmas Beauty as my choice, only based on the fact that you didn't give me the chance to pick a region or a date.
We already talked about those, though. So. All right, Rebecca.
Yeah, I would say probably Christmas Beauty, too, just because it works everywhere. It's a little bit more on the naturally compact side, so you can reduce your PGR inputs and, just overall input costs. So probably Beauty for me.
All right. Rebecca, keep going with the best poinsettia for the pickiest retail florist on the planet.
Yeah, so that's one called Fabulous from Dumen. That's a really beautiful, that florist type market. Again, it's just like the IGCs. They want cascading bracts. They want the right kind of bluish undertone red color. That's generally what they like for that market, big cyathia. And so it would be fabulous for
me. Something you can sell a 7-inch pot for 125.
Yep.
Right. Steve?
No, I'd still stay with the large cyathia. Florist grade. I'd have the same choices of Ranch Red and Legacy.
All right, Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to stick on the same kind of positioning as getting the large scythia types and Noel. But the one, if you're talking about a florist in a larger pot, Christmas Wish sizes up, has a big bracket, it has a big scythia as well. So to me, Christmas Wish has that traditional look. It's probably our most traditional scythia bracket.
And this may be related. Churches and fundraisers. More and more growers putting a lot of their wintertime effort into those markets. What would you pick, Steve?
I think there's a lot of choices, actually. But, you know, Mirage isn't a bad choice either in that arena. But I think a lot of Prestige is still grown in that arena as well. It's typically a little bit later in the case of churches, fundraises earlier, so depend on timing as well there. So, okay. But anyways,
Rebecca,
I like Grande Italia for the church market. It's a big, you know, like for an 8-inch church market or large 6-inch like specimen type. It's got the color looks good. You have to think about at that point. You have to think about the red under retail lights, and then in like the church setting too. And for me, you know, that variety looks really nice in that market.
Yeah, and these customers only buy from us once a year, and you want them to come back next year if you can't impress them, you know, or disappoint them with a poinsettia and try to win them back with your betting plants. So, Gary, what's your best Christmas or fundraiser or church or fundraiser poinsettia?
Just to throw the reference back to the Vatican, Grande Italia and Aura are the two that they grow for the Vatican. Mm-hmm. Grande Italia stands as the choice. And the reason both of those are grown is because there's not a lot of light in the basilicas between services. There is a little bit of light, but it's light shining through stained glass windows. They don't light it much. So when you're in that dark settings, that's where Grande Italia shines, and it holds that color. That's a good one for that niche. We have one that we're bringing. It's too young for me to scream it's going to rock, you know, rock beautifully, but it's a variety. We just launched Christmas Song, and it was bred specifically to achieve that kind of color retention, dark red, good, strong color retention through low light and being naturally lit later. So we have high hopes, but it's brand new. So.
All right, we'll watch for that one. And lastly, on the markets, and I think, Steve, you mentioned this landscape market, and I had to is that a thing? Certainly
in Florida, they had
Orlando, but there's not a market for that. Tell me about that and what variety.
I call it the 306. I mean, I think that's what it's commonly known as, but it's grown in a 306, transplanted into outdoor beds. That's kind of a thing. Traditionally, Advent was used in that arena. I think that Ranch Red, for the purpose of just being resistant to all the rain and elements, is the other piece that you got to do with that landscape. I'd like for it not to go away and it continue to exist. So
306, that
Advent and Ranch Red.
Back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That's a cool idea. Rebecca, what would you put in a jumbo six pack for landscape use?
Yeah, for me, Advent or Ranch again, just because they do work well in the landscape early, early timing to, for longevity in the landscape. If St. Louis was still around, that would really be the true landscape variety that we would expect to, finish over and over, and be a bush in the landscape. But I don't know if anybody has any St. Louis cuttings anymore. So it would have to be Advent or
Steve's
Ranch.
He's got a strange smirk there, like he's been around.
Yeah, I think you could find it.
Henrietta Ecke,
you could find as well. So
well, I got a plan for those if you do. So
okay, yeah.
All right. And Gary, what would you put in a jumbo six for the landscape?
Well, in the pack, Evans, the one that stands as the standard for that product. But I do think there is interest too. I've talked to a couple of growers, landscape growers, that are trying to see about producing a bigger spec feature plant for landscape mm-hmm. purposes as well. So I think that would shift the needle a bit. I do know it kind of got to this PAC program because way back in the 80s, we grew at my natural beauty time, we grew 6-inch pots for Disney for the landscape. And we mm-hmm. it was all a 6-inch pot. It was V10 Amy and a 6-inch pot was the landscape variety. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it in the ground from, early December. And then we had some extra sitting on the shelf in case somebody stepped on them or maybe, threw up on them or whatever it was that made them ugly. And we had replacements that we grew.
It can certainly be done. So, all right, let's move on to a grower, and I want to save money. Who doesn't? Give me an energy efficient variety, probably grow cool variety. What's your best, Steve?
Well, again, Ranch Red, we can drop the temperature at the end pretty substantially. I do. But also Freedom is the traditional plant to drop temperature as well. So I think it's mainly when you talk about energy efficient, it's cool finish instead of cool grow. But
okay. All right. That's good to know. Rebecca?
So I don't have a favorite variety. I would just, because there's so many to choose from now, I would say whether you're going to cold grow or cold finish, you got to choose an early response time, big bract and good natural vigor. And, that's your kind of three criteria and then take your pick.
All right. Gary?
Same. There's a lot that work. I don't know about the other breeders, but I do know that we run through a very cold finish screen at one of our locations in Europe. And what we find is that the concept of these, the newer sort of modern version of a early transition late Scythia work well, mm-hmm. typically. You combine that with a large bract.
Yeah.
And that's where you find the happy place. But right now, modern genetics, most modern varieties that have come out of Europe breeding for a while because of the costs has been an issue.
Yeah.
Cool screening, I think, entered into that conversation probably 8 or 9 years ago. So most of the newer varieties have been screened.
That's good to know. Energy. So that could kind of come standard. How about no PGRs? Speaking of Europe, where they are or are being outlawed, Gary, what do you do for natural compact finish?
Gotta go Kayla. Kayla is a beautiful variety that's really naturally compact. It's got a good North American flavor color, and to me. Yeah, that's okay. What I, for Kayla. That. low vigor and color presentation and relevant timing, Kayla's really good.
All right, yeah. Steve?
Well, I agree with Kayla, but I'd also add Pepita. It stacks up the leaves really tight. We used it in Europe as well for the same reason. So I would go with those two varieties.
All yeah. right, Rebecca?
Kayla for sure, just because it's just the natural compactness. But I would also add Viking Pro. You want to choose a variety that doesn't produce a lot of lower laterals too readily and you know, profusely, I guess, because that's where the need for early PGRs come in. So there's very few varieties that really we say you don't need any PGRs at all. But Kayla would certainly work. And then I would say Viking Pro.
I would agree with that comment. Viking Pro, you hear that comment from growers in Europe, Southern Europe, that are trying to be hands-off. Run it, flexible environments, but they want something that they can run PGR-free that's medium vigor, sizes up. Viking Pro fits that bill. So.
All right. High-density production. Squeeze more on a bench, make a few more dollars out of each bay. Gary, what do you like?
Our winner and our top seller is Christmas Eve. It's really everything about that variety is about getting you the size spec that you need. It will give you the height you want, but to grow it as tight as you need it to grow. So it's and again, the fast rooting, mobility, that high density speaks for efficiency and saving money. So all you kind of bundle the entire conversation into one thing, mechanical parts of it, temperature parts of it, density parts of it. All of that has to be in part of the conversation.
All right, Rebecca?
Mirage and Ferrara are the two that I generally recommend just because they have the vigor, you know, that you're generally growing on a reduced production schedule. So they've got good vigor and they just tend to not, there's some varieties that'll take all the space you can give it, and they get their elbows out and they use all the space. But those are two that, you know, you don't get like a stovepipey look when you grow them too tight. Right. But they just have like a nice kind of moderate upright bract and look under that high density production.
All right. How about you, Steve?
What is the perfect V, Rebecca? What is the perfect V?
That depends on the market, right? I mean, it depends on, you know, what I think is wide is definitely not what some markets think is a wide.
Well,
branching.
Then you grow straight ups.
Right.
Yeah.
And ask more money for it.
Yeah. Steve? High density.
Well, it depends on the pot size for me a little bit because, found out you can even grow high density in a tub, you know, if you use Ferrara or you use Ranch Red. It's incredible how they're just grow to the needs of that plant. But then if you go into a six, the upright habits still stick out to my mind where we're going as breeders and as an industry, certainly the upright and probably, Gary, your bell could be considered as well, I would think.
Oh yeah.
But
we have a lot that's going in that direction. And again, our conversation is how tight an angle do we tolerate branch angle versus brack size, too steep an angle, too big a bracts, they compete. What's the right size to sleeve? What's the best for density production? It's just it's one of the new key criteria you have to have.
There's got to be a perfect ratio in there somewhere.
You could. We figured out. I mean, Ranch Red, we can bring all the way down to a 14x14 on a 6-inch pot. We know that we can also stick on week 31, 32, and still make it. All those add into what you can do in high density. So this is a world worth exploring for the large grower for sure.
It's a necessity. It is not it's reality. And the margins are thin. And if you're going to grow a million poinsettias, you're going to have to grow that a million poinsettias to two things: as efficiently per space square foot as you have, and at a high yield as possible. Otherwise, you're going to lose your shirt. And the stakes are really high these days.
Sure.
Interest rates high, growers cannot, they cannot miss.
Right.
They can't miss.
You get one chance a year to get your poinsettias right.
No.
I struggled with white flies down here. This was pre-imidacloprid. We were even putting Temec out back in the good old days. Recall that. Is there such a thing as a white fly resistant poinsettia yet, or one that's less prone to get them than others?
Lord, so I'm the one that wrote that idea down for the group. We do know that the interspecifics are the euphorbia types. So like poinsettias, Jadors, because of the wild poinsettia that spread in, do tend to show more tolerance. Resistance is probably not a good word. Tolerance is a better word. And then, you know, we know that white flies like white poinsettias. So they're always going to cling to something like white star, before they do a red variety, a dark leaf variety. So, you know, there's levels of tolerance. Is there an actual resistant white fly poinsettia? I think that's a pretty big ask.
I think you're probably right.
Yep.
All right, let's move last category under. I'm not going to give everybody a chance because I know we don't have it out there. We're just all dreaming.
Last, I think we all think the same thing.
Saving money. Longest shelf life. Going to hold that Cyathea right up to Valentine's Day. Rebecca?
Oh, gosh. I have a friend that just threw away his Superba Nuglitter, and it did still look beautiful. And I said, I don't care what it looks like. Throw it away. It's time to move on to other spring crops and other potted floral crops to decorate your office. But for me, Superba Nuglitter has, like, amazing shelf life.
All right. Cool. Steve?
Well, there's a big issue that's been around for a long time, because really the shelf life at retail, if you really measure it, it's not very many days, but we're doing a better job of doing other stuff, not putting in boxes and stacking and stuff like that, that really helps the shelf life. But we know winter rose, okay, that is the standard to hit. I would say winter rose.
Yeah.
All right. Gary?
Yeah, you can't argue with the winter rose type or any of those type of varieties are a very long living. One of the interesting things about them, and you don't quite understand why, but it's something we're doing a lot of work with, is Cyathea retention. Is a lot of early Cyathea will drop, but and now with a lot of our new breeding, the goal is to not drop Cyathea. What I think the key thing here is shelf life. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna pick the one that you know ticks the boxes through our entire shelf life trial, it's going to be Christmas Bells. But the bottom line is many of them check the boxes very well. The thing that I would say, the attribute that I think has the best opportunity with a modern poinsettia to increase shelf life, is root health. Genetic root health, and then production root health, because the primary reason that poinsettias will die in the hands of the consumer is overwatering in a pot cover or cycling too dry to wet. So if you have a stronger root, that's going to give shelf life. To me, it's not so much a genetic of the Cyathea or thing equation. It's how good is that root system and how long is it going to last in that pot cover.
Yeah, right, and how well it was grown. It's really about how well it was grown.
Oh, yeah. What meat are you growing is a big part of that. I don't want to get into that conversation.
All right. Well, let's use that as a segue, Gary. Let's use that as a segue to best rooting poinsettia.
Oh, yeah. We got that.
Do you want me to start with that?
Start it up. What single variety roots better
Christmas
than
Eve,
any of them?
Bar none. 18 days rooted out, liners out the door, 21 days.
Which one?
Like clockwork, year after year after year after year. Clockwork.
Which variety?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
If they all rooted like Christmas Eve, I'd be in heaven.
Steve?
I'd put it that way.
Well, again, through studies that have been extensive, I would say it's not red, but your best rooting is Polly's Pink. So, traditionally. So, kind of interesting. But, we have a lot of good choices now, which is amazing. So, but the very best, I think, was Polly's Pink.
Polly's Pink's the standard for you. All right, Rebecca, what's your standard when it comes to the best rooting poinsettia?
Eve really is one of the earliest that you see, and Polly's Pink. I actually had kind of forgotten about how quickly Polly's Pink can root, but I would also say that's such a variable, depending on the type of crop propagator and how much mist they're using, the density that they're propagating at. There's so many factors that play into that, you know, that it's almost easier to answer which ones we know are really late compared to the early ones.
All right. I think the more relevant question would be which ones give us less problem in transit.
Yeah.
That's where your issues in propagation are not that it takes three more days to root. It's that, you know, a third of them rotted in the bag.
Yeah. There's your problem. Or sensitivity to leaf yellowing, or, you know, there's lots of different factors that play into that.
A strong, vigorous root system would help counter that, but not necessarily.
It's about getting the root out.
Yeah.
It's about that magic moment when the poinsettia doesn't have a clue, it doesn't have a stem underneath it anymore. And how well does it do that? How does it think that through? I'm personifying a poinsettia for you, but
it's
thinking, I don't have roots, and different varieties understand that different ways and different timings. And so a variety that heals itself faster will transition into callus and throw a root faster.
Okay. We're going to get in. I know the folks listening are going, colors, talk colors. I got one more sort of cultural issue, and that is, what is the strongest poinsettia out there, the one that survives the drop test every time? Because we've all been in greenhouses and seen the broken bracts left after you've pulled the bay, you know? So, Steve.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I lived through the drop test. That was what brought on Prestige after Freedom and made a huge market for Prestige. But certainly today's drop test is I joke around that it's turned into what poinsettia can you turn upside down and it still survives. And that would be Ranch Red.
After UPS has had a hold of it? You mean?
Yeah, right.
All right, Rebecca?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we have to talk about Prestige when we talk about strong branching. Excuse me. It's still one of the standards when we talk about V-shape architecture, you know, the drop test. There's still just nothing quite like it.
All right, Gary, you're nodding.
Yeah, Prestige has been something we've been pursuing for a very long time. We can attack it at the regional fringes where it runs out of juice when you go north and it doesn't always reliably bracked up. And then we push it south where it can heat delay. But in what I call the Prestige belt, that's really hard to surpass. We have a new variety. I'm not ready to stand up and down and scream it's magic, but we did this with Amy at her greenhouse a couple of years ago. She wasn't particularly happy with
it. Not Amy the poinsettia, Amy Morris at Hymo.
Amy Morris at Hymo.
Which Amy was not named after, much to her chagrin. But
I hate to wake you to her. But doing a drop test on the variety Christmas candle and literally testing her patience with how high was rising it up. Dropped it three times from waste and split the pot in half, and the plant didn't break. So right now, I mean, I can't speak to how great the variety is going to be in the end, but when it comes to stem strength, that sucker's a tank.